Well, I am solid state theorist, and this is how we can approach this those complicated questions of condensation and self-assembly. Actually, theory will be very simple, and I am grateful to all these people, in particular Julia Ruzina, who read this paper and commented and helped me to understand more about the real world. Title is Wigner Crystal, so let me start from history of Wigner Crystal. Wigner in the 30s suggested such a model of a metal with small concentration of electrons. So it was three-dimensional metal, but the image is two-dimensional, of course. So imagine that you have uniform positive background, and in Wigner's case it was it were ions in metal which are smeared uniformly. So these guys are electrons who are negative, and when concentration of electrons is small, they repel each other, they sit in hexagonal lattice, at low temperature, of course, is low, and even quantum fluctuations cannot destroy this if this distance is larger than Bohr, much larger than Bohr radius. So quantum fluctuations can be neglected, and you have such a Wigner crystal. Energy of this Wigner crystal can be calculated almost immediately. I'm not talking about numbers here in this talk, just algebraic equations, so don't look for numbers. And this is energy per electron, which is E squared divided by lattice constant. How do you get this? You get it easily. You draw such a Wigner Z cell. Every line goes in the middle between two electrons. And Wigner said that, look, this is a neutral cell. So suppose other cells are neutral, so they don't interact with these electrons. This electron, this central electron, interacts only with its Wigner Z cell. So energy is energy of interaction. This is, of course, energy is negative, but this is binding energy, so I write it as positive. And so it is E squared over this lattice constant. This is the only non-trivial formula of this talk. Yeah, I am giving you scale of binding energy. As I said, I will not talk about numbers. Coefficients. So later, Wigner crystal was discovered in many situations. When electrons sit on liquid helium with positive gate underneath, Wigner crystal discovered in quantum Hall effect and very strong magnetic fields. There are beautiful applications of Wigner crystal ideas in astrophysics. One of them is very close to what I'll be talking about. I mean neutron stars. In neutron stars, magnetic field is so large that hydrogen atom electron cloud is a rod, very long. It is compressed by magnetic field because magnetic field is very strong, and so there are negative rods. And it was shown that they self-assemble or condense in bundles, which we talk similar to what we will be talking about. So and nuclei leave their rods and sit in the Wigner crystal. So I am guided by this image, which was developed for neutron stars. By people like Kadamtsev in Russia, later Ruderman, then Ruderman in the United States, and Salpeter. So, before I move to Wigner, to using this thing, let me introduce the rod. And this is, I'm not talking especially about DNA, but this is kind of rod-like negative molecule. It has surface charge, and B is distance where unit charge sits, and radius of it is R, and counter ions with charge plus Z I added to this system. And we will be talking about condensation of these rods. Well, there is a very simple dimensionless parameter in this theory. This is the ratio of this length, and this length ZB is length at which two counter ions will sit if I put them in a line trying to compensate rod charge, and radius of this ratio of ZB to radius of this rod. So there are two theories which I'll discuss, and the goal of this discussion will be to connect what Rusiner and Bloomfield did on one side, and to talk also about collective non-pairwise interactions. So we will, in one of these cases, recover their both these theories. And so there are two cases, ZB over R larger than 1, and ZB over R smaller than 1, in theory sense. Well, there are rods in nature which satisfy both of these criteria. For example, there are very thin rods of this kind. Kakhlov told me about this rod, for which B over R is 2, B being 6 and R being 3 angstroms. For DNA, B is 1.7, R is 10, and so this ratio is 1.6, and if Z is equal to 3, this is still less than 1. So DNA is a thick and strongly charged polymer, while other polymers are thin and weakly charged. So let's see what happens in both these cases. And let's start from the first case of very thin and weakly charged polymers. Well, what happens to them? They condense in such bundles. A bundle of N rods, and they simulate a negative uniform background. On the background of this negative rods, counter ions sit between rods, if rods are not penetrable, but if they cannot enter rods, that's what I assume. And they sit and, symbolically, I drew three-dimensional Wigner crystal as a cubic lattice, but of course it can be dense spect lattice. What is important that in this limit, ZB over R larger than 1, in this limit, lattice constant of this crystal is larger than radius. So there is enough space for these guys to make this crystal at least approximately. And when they make this crystal, and at the moment I'm talking about a very large bundle of many guys, then I should use this formula for binding energy per ion. And remember, this is standard Wigner-Zeitz calculation, to which I added only the fact that now ions have charge Z, and of course, Wigner-Zeitz cell has a charge Z. So it is Z squared, E squared over lattice constant. Lattice constant can be estimated, can be calculated easily from knowing density of this uniform background and knowing charge, so density times R cube should be equal charge. You calculate it, you substitute it here in the only equation of this theory, as I said, and you get this expression. So this is expression for binding energy per ion of this system. It's time now to emphasize that I'm talking about low temperature theory. What does it mean, low temperature? Low temperature here means the temperature is less than this energy. So this crystal is not melted. Well, of course, I am not talking about long-range order. I don't need long-range order for this calculation. Such energy will appear if I have only short-range order. But if crystal is seriously melted, so the temperature is much larger than this thing, of course, I will lose this energy and I will lose attraction. So what I want to tell you, that ion sitting on the ground of this bundle bind it, and this is the binding energy per ion. If you need binding energy per rod, please calculate how many ions you have on one rod, multiply, and that's it. Actually, I would like to emphasize that there are no fluctuations, which we discussed here. Fluctuations are very small at low temperatures, so they cannot produce attraction, and attraction at low temperatures is always produced by Wigner crystal physics. Well, now I am changing inequality, Zb over R, which be much smaller than 1, which means that polymer is rod is thick and strongly charged. And it's close to DNA. So now what happens, ions would like to sit in three-dimensional lattice, but they cannot sit in three-dimensional closely packed lattice because rods are too thick and they don't let them. So they are forced to sit at the surface of rods, and they sit on the surface of rods, and they make Wigner crystal, two-dimensional Wigner crystal. So first Wigner crystal was three-dimensional. Now they are dealing with two-dimensional Wigner crystal on the surface of rods. Of course, altogether the system is three-dimensional, but you understand what I'm talking about. Now, if I separate these rods, you still have Wigner crystal on the surface, but energy is not related to all these guys. Energy is related to the contact of two rods. Why? Let me remind you. Excuse me? Yes. I remind you that the rod is negatively charged on the surface. I consider that I have only Z equal 1 negative charges, unit charges, and they are, say, randomly distributed or whatever. And so when I talk about large Z for counter ions, I can consider negative charges as uniform background. Here, a question was raised from this side at some moment, can I do the same thing for Z equal 1? Of course not. If I have Z equal 1, each positive charge compensates each negative charge, and there is nothing, no Wigner crystal, no charge separation. So Z equal 1 forces in this model are absent if I'm talking not about artificial uniform background, but real background consisting of point-like charges. Right? So what I wanted to say that now that there is a very important dogma from which I started, that when you have Wigner crystal, the denser is Wigner crystal, the smaller is lattice constant, the larger binding energy. So Wigner crystal, important feature of Wigner crystal is negative compressibility. It likes to be dense.
You're losing half the energy of the background when you say that, which is very unphysical.
I'm not. Let's discuss this question on this example, where I will apply this. I'm not leaving background. It's taken down. Look at this picture. Here, Wigner crystal. So this is look from above. Here I am looking from above on this picture. And so here this crystal is has twice denser background and twice larger concentration of ions. So I am dealing with denser system, and for denser system, energy per ion is larger. So energy is gained here. This is where this contact stripe is sticky. This is where energy is produced. So to calculate binding energy per every ion, you do the following. You say that energy per this ion is given by this standard formula, ZE squared over R. And then you have to calculate fraction of ions which participate in creation of binding energy of rod. You have to divide this width of this band of stripe over R, and width of this stripe can be determined from condition that divergence of these two crystals is not, distance between them is not larger than lattice constant, because if they are further, they don't interact. Two Wigner crystals, which are in different planes at distance larger than lattice constant, interact exponentially. And this is how you get energy per ion, and this is how you get energy per rod. Well, one can return back, actually, to the case ZB, I probably inverted order of them, to the case of ZB over R less than 1, and consider smaller bundle, so one can study how bundle energy, how energy per ion depends on N. For that case, for bulk case, I just forgot to show this. In this case, you get one-dimensional crystal. If n is small, if r over square root of n is much smaller than lattice constant, you cannot put three-dimensional crystal inside. So system becomes one-dimensional. You calculate in the same way energy as function of n. And energy is function of n. I'm finishing very soon. Energy is function of n. Actually, goes linearly at small n, saturates. Well, it's similar in the sense that I am presenting here. Energy at the bundle is function of n, but differs from this work which you heard. They got continuing linear dependence forever. Well, now I would like to. I have three transparencies. This is very. Okay, now DNA. Well, we already understood probably that if charges on the surface are random, for Z larger than 1, we can use this approximation of uniform background and Wigner crystal. What happens if charges at the surface are correlated? For example, in DNA, charges on the surface follow two spirals, negative charges here. And if one wants just to talk simple language, let's combine these two in one, let's close this smaller groove, and we have one spiral of charge. Now charge is concentrated, not randomly distributed. Question, whether uniform approximation of uniform background still okay? Answer is no, because correlation of charges on the surface, negative charges, is dangerous in the sense that it can kill these ideas. Why? For example, if you have three guys sitting together, counter-ion with charge 3 comes and kills these three guys together, and so there is no charge separation, there is no Wigner crystal charge. Well, similar thing happens when they are concentrated along spiral. Actually, they come and sit along spiral. So you get one-dimensional Wigner crystal. You get one-dimensional Wigner crystal. Now, how do you get attraction energy of two rods? Well, if you have one rod and one spiral, and you shift this rod by half of period of helix, so that these two spirals contact at this point, then you develop attraction only when these two spirals contact each other. Why? Because if spirals are far from each other, you have Wigner crystals sitting one-dimensional here and one-dimensional, say, here, and there is no interaction is exponentially small between two Wigner crystals at large distances. So contact interaction develops only in points. You calculate this number of these points, you calculate energy per ion. Energy per ion, strangely enough, in the simple estimates, comes right. It's kT divided by one-third of kT for Z equal 3. Experimental, it's close to experimental values. Well, I want to say only in two remaining transparencies that it's a very, very general approach. For example, colloids. Colloids are negative particles. Let's say that they have surface negative charge. You add counter. This is charge of colloid. This is counter ion. Counter ions come and make Wigner crystal. Now you want to discuss attraction, binding energy of two such particles. It develops in such a disk where they touch each other. You calculate number of guys. You use this main equation that energy is Z squared E squared over R per interacting ion. Calculation is very simple and result is very simple. This is energy of attraction of two spheres, which is just product of ZQ E squared over R. Pay attention, it is not Q squared, of course. It's energy of the order of interaction of bare sphere with one ion sitting at the surface, this being radius of the surface. Last transparency, very short one. Well, one can talk not only about self-assembling, not only about binding energies of different rigid particles, as I did before. One can talk also about bending rigidity of one particle. So, for example, this is bending problem of bending rigidity of one-dimensional rod. Okay, this is just line, charged line. And now what happens, and so question will be about electrostatic contribution in bending rigidity. So I would like to show that it's negative and large. Why? So what happens on this negative line, you have positive counter ions. When you bend it, distance between counter ions in real space, not in curved space, but this distance in straight line becomes smaller. But Coulomb interaction propagates in straight line. So in the sense of Coulomb interaction, Wigner Zeitz cell becomes smaller. If Wigner Zeitz becomes smaller, according to main dogma, energy becomes lower, and so this line likes to be bended. And because, I remind you, Wigner crystal has negative compressibility. And simple calculation of energy per ion gives once more this simple equation. And if you want, for example, to do same calculation for membrane, where it is easier to express result rigidity, which enters this expression for energy per unit area, where this is curvature radius, this rigidity, which has the dimensionality of energy, turns out to be negative, and this is contribution of electrostatic forces only. So you have to add also bare rigidity if you're interested in rigidity. So this contribution is negative and huge. It can be much larger than kT. If Z is equal to 3, it can be easily 10 kT. And so this is a very strong effect. Actually, we are studying this effect with Julia Rusin at the moment, and we consider also thick cylinders, thick membranes, thick, okay, so every case. Thank you.